Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It is Discover the Finger Lakes on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. A few different, some manufacturing is beginning as of Friday, May 15th, and also some things in agriculture and horticulture. And I think it varies quite a bit as to what businesses are doing. Heard from several people that some of the garden centers were just slammed with people, and that's often the case in the spring, and people take the reopening as, you know, but don't realize that there are some restrictions, and we would be wise not to reopen too quickly. Michael Warren Thomas back here. Seem to have ongoing connection issues. Kind of once an hour, strange thing. Just mentioning the phase one of reopening and the fact that some garden centers were really slammed with business on Friday, and maybe it had something to do with the fact that it was the first warm day of since October 1st last year. Was the first time we'd approached 80 degrees. But if you want to go to a garden center that's not busy, go during the week when it's raining, and we will have some rain this week, and that's really an ideal time to go to garden centers if you want to avoid crowds. In the spring, weekends are always slammed at garden centers. It's a very short season, really, for before people go off and do other things in the summer. Everyone packs in their spring buying at garden centers into a few weekends. So again, if you want to avoid crowds, I would go this week at some point during one of the rainy days. And as we said in the last start of the last hour, there are some cool temperatures still coming this week, maybe a low of 42 in Rochester. So you're better off waiting to plant tomatoes and peppers and basil another week. They'll be happier in the greenhouses. And then Memorial Day weekend, or pick up the plants maybe later this week on a rainy day and put them in over Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, it's if you want to avoid crowds, I would just be aware that garden centers can be especially busy this weekend and next weekend. And some garden centers, you can order in advance and do curbside pickup. There are some still doing that. I think Galley is, and Sarah's Garden Center, and probably Bristol's. So if there's one near you, call and check with them to see what they're doing. And please wear a mask. It's very simple. It shows respect for other people, and it is such an easy thing to do. It's what is going to help us reopen, is keeping the infection rate down, and masks do that. They're being used all around the world that way. It's not a invention of politicians here in this country who came up with this idea of wearing masks. It's working around the world to keep infection rates lower, and that's the key. If we want to have reopening be successful, we need to use those masks. So you can buy them. Monroe County was giving them away. You can make your own. I've seen 1,000 different kinds, but have it with you. That's the key. Keep it in your pocket in case you're in a situation where you're close to other people. When I'm driving in my car alone, I'm not wearing the mask. I go into a store, I put it on in my car, and then go in and shop, pick up groceries, whatever. If I'm walking along the canal path or around the neighborhood, I have the mask with me, and I'll just quickly put it on if I see someone that I'll be relatively close to. Again, you're doing it for them, really more than for yourself. And you don't know what that other person might have, what kinds of challenges they might have, just show them some respect and have a mask available that you can wear when you get too close. This morning we're going to talk with Sean Patrick McCabe from SiteHub. And this is a business which based here in Rochester, which works generally with other businesses to set up websites and do branding and also online stores. And that's probably something that makes sense to do now for as many businesses as possible, just in case there are second waves or further shutdowns. It's good to be thinking along these lines. And again, this is a local business, which has also been doing some podcasts on Facebook. It's yoursitehub.com. You can get more information. But we'll after a quick break, we'll have Sean Patrick McKay on from SiteHub here in Rochester, WISL 1040. Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes. Those include Glenora Wine Cellars, Inn at Glenora, Verasian's Restaurant, and they are all working on reopening plans. The tasting rooms in the Finger Lakes generally are not going to be open. They can't be open until phase three, which at the earliest will be mid-June. But they're working on plans and, you know, setting up systems, figuring out how to go about this. And you can get details about the winery, which is open for curbside and shipping at glenora.com. I picked up a case of wine from them a couple weeks ago. They make a wide variety of wines, including fruit wines. Go to glenora.com and get more information. It is a fantastic winemaker there, Steve DeFrancesco. And whether it's dry reds or sparkling wine, or Riesling or Chardonnay, some really delicious options. It's glenora.com. And if you want some options that are not in bottles, they do some Astra Packs that are, again, no glass, preserves the wine really well, and makes sense. So, again, glenora.com. You can get more information. They're the west side of Seneca Lake, and open for curbside pickup and shipping. Also brought to you by Full Moon Vista Bike and Sport, and they are open as an essential business. You can get your bicycle repaired. You can get a new bicycle so you can get outside and get some exercise, some fresh air. They have some great bicycles and a wonderful staff to help you. FullMoonVista.com for more details. Located on University Avenue, right near Clover, and FullMoonVista.com. Also brought to you by Fruition Seeds. They are doing curbside pickup of their transplants on the weekends for several Saturdays. Go to FruitionSeeds.com. But they'll ship you seeds. You can get those mail order in a few days. Go to FruitionSeeds.com to get more information. And based in Naples, a local seed producer. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes.
I was working in a lime barn, eating beans and hay. boss a-kicking my stern every night and every day. So I hired out Connallen as a horny and a toil, driving mules that kept up bawling long the towpath's smelly shore. Long the towpath's smelly
Welcome back,
shore.
Michael Warren Thomas. Here I've stopped in to visit Sean McKay, who founded and is the owner of SiteHub, which you may notice on East Avenue, right near the Alexander Street corner, is also a co-work space that's kind of next to it and kind of the same space. And the co-work space, very inviting. I hadn't been in before, so a good excuse to interview Sean and find out more about it. And Sean, I met you fairly recently because of Rochester FoodNet, and we've relaunched that, Adam Wilcox and some other collaborators. And he said I think not for Rochester FoodNet, but for his own business, he went looking for who could help market, do digital marketing for my business. Interviewed a bunch of people, and he said when he first met you, he's like, this is the guy. I've got a kindred spirit or a good person to collaborate with. So what is SiteHub? Maybe a general overview first.
Yes, that is a funny story about Adam, actually. But yeah, getting to your question, SiteHub is, I describe it now as a digital marketing and lead generation company. We started first by doing just web design, and we still do a lot of web design, hence the name SiteHub. But, digital marketing, getting people to your website and then converting them into either leads or clients, dollars, that's really what our specialty is. Yeah.
So I saw a YouTube video how to get 1,000 leads in 5 seconds or 5 minutes. There's a whole lot of that out there. When you're trying to work with local clients, you have mainly local businesses, I think you said, you're trying to get good leads, not just any leads, right? Which makes a big difference.
Yeah. We have mostly local and regional clients. Rochester's our home base, and a lot of our clients are right here. But marketing, digital marketing in particular, has this connotation that it is an easy gold mine. Like, you just turn on some switches, or if you get the right system, or you get the right guru, you'll be a zillionaire. And it just it obviously isn't that way. There is no get rich quick, even on the internet. But we truly help them, help our small business clients tap into enterprise-level systems that do work, but they also take time and they take resources. We find effective ways to generate leads based on their industry, too, that are right for their perfect type of clientele. Like Adam's business, requires a different type of prospect than a restaurant, so we go about working with all of our clients in a unique way.
And you've worked with some wineries in the area, and again, that would be very different than someone who is as a t-shirt business or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Finger Lakes obviously is such an impactful, this is your business. It's such a big piece of Rochester. So whenever we work with Rochester, as a business community, obviously the Finger Lake region and the wine region comes up. So we do have experience there. And yeah, like you said, it's the clientele that we're bringing into a winery and the way that we market a winery, or even the way that we build their website. I mean, you've probably heard the wineries in New York State are particularly being targeted for that ADA compliance stuff. There's those lawsuits going out. So that was a big kick in kind of mid 2019, and we dealt with quite a lot of that.
And it's not something limited to wineries. That just happened to be a category that was targeted. Give us a few minutes background on what that is and how other mainly brick and mortar businesses need to be aware of this. And my impression is it's lawyers who are looking to make money, and they found a category where, as one winery told me, no one ever complained, no one ever suggested we change anything, we just got sued. And that's not someone who's trying to make positive change at someone. It has some negative connotations, but it's still something businesses need to be aware of and respond to proactively, probably.
Yeah, I wish I had the stats up in front of me right now, but I recommend that you guys look them up. But I believe New York State Well, I know for sure that New York State has more ADA website lawsuits than any other state in the United States. And most of them were wineries or in that industry. And most of them actually shared a common plaintiff. So the same guy sued, I think, over 100. And so, yeah, that doesn't look good, right? But I actually say that to business owners who complain about this stuff, that it's actually, we should look at it as an opportunity to service a new clientele that you've previously ignored. And so if we make our websites more compliant, and what that means is for ADA is it means let's make sure that people who are visually impaired can use their technology to actually read what's on your site. Make sure that visually impaired people can use your website to find out where you are, what you do, you know, and how to get to you and how to call you. And if you don't do that, well, then they just won't most of the time. So they probably won't sue you like this guy has, but, you know, you're losing out on those people currently. So we should look at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, and again, in this example, they did target wineries, but it could be any brick-and-mortar business from what I understand, really.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I mean, it's not even that hard to do to make your website compliant these days. I mean, most websites are built on some sort of platform, whether it be Squarespace or Wix. Everyone's heard of these things. WordPress, right? Your website's built on something. And most of those things have tools or plugins or extensions, whatever they might call it, that allow you to quickly make your website compliant. And if you're lost, you call me.
Yeah, and you know, people may have someone else who's built their website a few years ago, and so that often happens, I think, where there's a big lag of work, and they probably need to upgrade their website in general anyway. For mobile or for whatever.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, your website should probably be updated. I mean, nowadays, I don't even think there's a length of time that's appropriate. It's just constantly is the right answer. But, yeah, if you have sat on your website for a year or two without making any changes, you definitely have some work to do.
Or a decade.
Yeah.
You know, I'm afraid now I won't say anything about my own site, but I have some upgrading to do. The upgrading, it's an upfront cost to do it, but it's an investment in connecting with people. And you know, if you're going to do digital marketing, you really need to have a website that people can access and optimize, you know, and use.
Yeah, when we talk marketing, and when we teach what we do, we break it to three steps, and there's awareness, reputation, and conversion. And so that last step, conversion, is, you know, where you make all your money. And that's generally on your website. People take digital conversion through your website. They contact you. They fill out your form. They look up your address. They look up your phone number, whatever it is. And so, yeah, that's like the key to all of your marketing. If that's broken, everything that you're spending your advertising dollars on is probably wasted.
So if someone has a business and they again, I haven't looked at their website in a while or want to see what the options are, do they set an appointment with you or one of your staff to kind of get an overview and or maybe an initial evaluation for a set price?
Oh, my free plug. I like it.
Happy to give you lots of free plugs. Again, because partly because I think people like having a local person they can connect with rather than, you know, GoDaddy or, you know, other really amorphous things that you have no personal connection. And I'd like to be able to come say hello to the person who's doing it, even if I only see you once a year or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. And actually, I think that does make a big difference from a lot of my clients is that, you know, I'm local and I'm also not a freelancer. Not that there's a problem with that, but I've had clients, even last week I had a client who came to me because their other person just disappeared or took a full-time job, right? So, yeah, we have a small team here on Easton Alexander. You could set an appointment with us, give us a call. My website's yoursitehub.com, and you can fill out some information there. And I don't charge for those initial, you know, conversations. So.
How about, you know, adding things like, you know, business, the name escapes me, for, you know, purchasing online. You have basically maybe one platform you work with, or is e-commerce specific to different industries, and you help incorporate that into websites for people?
Yeah, e-commerce is definitely a big piece of it, and it's a good way for a local company to reach out to an international market. So I have a couple companies here in Rochester who are started local brick and mortar and then became e-commerce shops and now are selling worldwide. So yeah, we do that for customers, or you might already have a e-commerce platform. We can help you optimize it, get more conversions. You know, easy thing to do on e-commerce stores is to find out the people who are adding products to cart and not checking out with them, and then doing what we call remarketing. It's real simple stuff. Anybody who knows marketing advertising is probably going to roll their eyes like, oh, basic. But the basic stuff is real, real critical there. You can generally squeeze an extra 10% of sales out of people who are already interested, you know, just got to remarket to them.
Yeah. And Sean McKay's with us, SiteHub, yoursitehub.com. You can look him up. And you're from this area, right? And decided to stay here instead of launching your business in New York City or Boston or Toronto?
Yeah.
The rent's a little cheaper here.
Rent's a little cheaper, yeah. Everything's a lot cheaper here. Yeah, cost of living's cheaper. Yeah, so I was born and raised here. You know, I have that whole Rochester story. I went to MCC, RIT, and then I was actually going in for the cybersecurity field. I was I got a job locally in cybersecurity, and that's what I was going to school for. And once I was in the industry, I realized it wasn't quite exactly how I imagined. It was more like pressing a button and running a tool, and than it was actually like hacking. You know, like the geeky stuff that I enjoyed. So I was kind of perplexed by that. And then around that time, my dad, who was an entrepreneur forever, my mom's father was an entrepreneur as well. So I have a lot of entrepreneurs in my family. But around that time, my dad passed away, and I was 19. And so I quit everything. I dropped out of school and quit my job. You know, I just kind of needed a pause on life. And that's when I rebooted, that's when I decided to start SiteHub. I ended up just cold calling people and telling them they had a crappy website. And believe it or not, that worked. And then after a little while, I got busy enough where I had a guy set up in my office, in my attic. He was set up, his desk was a guitar case laid horizontally on top of an amp, and then a kitchen chair. That was his desk. And then I hired a designer, hired up some other people, and built SiteHub really organically that way. So kind of
my office and my studio, broadcast studio, is in my attic also. Still there. I call it my studio in the sky. You know, third floor. I can look out on Rochester from my house. But SiteHub has grown tremendously. You're one of the faster growing businesses in Rochester, probably.
Yeah, you know, I didn't apply to fastest growing, top 500, whatever. I probably should. But we did apply twice in a row to Tech Rochester's awards for best in digital marketing, and we won those back-to-back. And, you know, I don't want to say I was surprised, because I think we earned it. But really, we were up against large firms, like people who have 60 people working for them. So we were really proud by that, and still are, and hope to apply and win a third year in a row. So,
and the site, yoursitehub.com, people can go there and can get a better sense for everything that you do. But what is it like to be an entrepreneur at this level? Because you started from just a, you know, your attic, and now have a business downtown on East Avenue and one of these great old buildings. And it's often hard for entrepreneurs to move from founder to actually running a pretty big business where, you know, accounting really matters and human resources, and you start to get, I wouldn't say corporate, but a bigger business.
Yeah, you know, when I first started growing at some sort of speed, I had this idea of the two pizza rule. feeding your team with two pizzas. That's how big your team should be. You should be able to feed them with two pizzas. You know, I was going to say when you mentioned your sky studio in the sky, that I think my favorite time was actually that attic office. We were really close. You know, we went out a lot together. We had good times, fun times, and we worked a lot together. And you know, when you grow at a higher speed, you can't be friends with all your employees, you know, the same way. You can't build as close relationships as you might want to because you're busy running the business. So there's always that, but we try to keep that, and I've limited the extent of how fast we're growing to keep as much of that as possible, because it's really one of our core values, is to enjoy what we do. One of the reasons I started this is because I didn't enjoy my job. I didn't enjoy not being listened to at work. That was a big one, like having good ideas and my boss is not listening to it. So I don't want anybody who works for me to feel that way. So to restrict that, I've really tried to make sure that we grow at a responsible speed as well. You know, we're not overdoing it.
It's probably hard not to take every opportunity. It's like, yeah, because then at some point that'll overstretch you, and it will, the people that work for you will be stressed out because of that. I mean, there's always that push and pull of that.
You're right. And, you know, this work is stressful because it's a lot of office time, a lot of grinding out on a keyboard. And it's a lot of creativity that needs to be squeezed out, right? So it's like creativity on demand, which isn't like any other form of art or creativity or hobby, right? It's like you have to do it on the clock.
You can't think about it for a week and then you know, go take a hike in the Appalachian Trail for inspiration.
Yeah, that's how we used to do it, right? Now we just don't have time for that. So what I do is, you know, like all of my staff has unlimited paid time off, unlimited work from home hours. So we try to create an atmosphere where we give them the freedom to cool off and work at their own speed, you know, so I'm not breathing down their necks, like asking for stuff. But, you know, it also is all within reason. Everyone's expected to, you know, get their stuff done, and we do a good job as a team to create all this output without burnout.
Sean McKay is with us, yoursitehub.com. You can get more details, and the sort of long range, do you have a dream that where you'd like to be in, you know, 5-10 year plans of thinking? That's got to be challenging in the digital world, just to try to figure out not so much where you want your business, but where the digital world will be in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I feel like that's almost impossible to even guess, like from the digital perspective, where we'll be, what we'll be doing. I think that's the part that'll change, is like the tactical of what we're doing will definitely change. It changed since last year. But, you know, I had this funny dream a couple of years ago that eventually I'd want to, you know, create a change in the Rochester skyline, like have something new, a new building, a new shape, or revitalize a building to have a new shape and change the skyline in Rochester. And I hope one day we could do that. It'll probably require me growing outside of my two pizza rule, though.
It will. You've changed the streetscape on East Avenue. You did the for this co-work space. You designed the logo and you know the what people see as they drive by.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to these guys. Metro Co-work is a client of mine, like you mentioned. We did their branding, logo, and helped with the naming even. But they're a real cool space for people who are the remote workers for other companies or solopreneurs. And we have guys here in esports, translators, sales reps of various companies. You got recruiters. You got all sorts of people. There's a real estate guys upstairs. So all sorts of people here working together, sharing the coffee, the Wi-Fi. It's a good atmosphere, good way to get out of the home and be productive, I think.
Well, as I said, my studio in the sky, I don't see a lot of people up there. You know, if I stayed up in that studio all day long and worked on my computer, the co-work space gives you the feeling or the community of a bigger business while you're still maybe that solo entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we have kind of the best of both worlds. We have an attached office, and so we have our privacy and our team and all that, but we can kind of skate out here, and it's like we have a whole body of new coworkers. So that's really nice.
There's a little conference room that they can share, and how does it work for co-work space? What kind of length of contract, and how flexible is it in terms of, looks like there's some kind of cubicles versus more open tables that are set up in little islands?
Yeah. So there's like, everything's month to month, I believe. Craig might kill me on that one if I'm wrong. But there's some spots where you just kind of come in every day and pop a squat and, you know, bring out your laptop and work. And those are less expensive, or you can have like a dedicated spot, like this is your desk, and you can leave your monitor and your picture of your dog on there. And then there's also some enclosed offices for people who need a little more privacy or you know, noise sensitive. And then what we have is they're actually like multi-person offices as well. So it's kind of, it's got all of it, you know, whether you're 1, 2, 3, 10 people. They have a gym here for all members. You can use the gym. So there's a lot of perks. They also have 2 other locations, and you can go between them as well. So if you have a meeting in Brighton, you can use their meeting room. It's pretty sweet.
And if you're looking for a job, it gives you a more professional maybe feeling about going through that process to be with other people that are here working and networking with them too.
Yeah, I remember when we were in our attic office, it was not really the place to bring clients, you know, and occasionally I had clients who were like, can I come see your office? And I'd be like, maybe. Let's meet at the coffee shop, you know? So this really defeats that, yeah.
I don't bring anyone to do interviews in my office, you know, studio in the sky. It's they're phone interviews generally or pre-recorded ones, so... Yeah, and you know, that works. But it seems like if you'd stayed working in cybersecurity, that you wouldn't have had much people contact. That's my impression of it, is that you're really on that computer testing and, you know, trying to break in and, you know, testing fixes and everything. But you don't have the people contact that you ended up with as you start talking to small businesses about their websites or digital marketing.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, I always thought I was kind of an introvert because, you know, I actually had a weird childhood, I guess. You know, like I had a bone disease, so like I was like the glass man. What's that movie? Yeah, something like that. So I just broke a lot of bones. And so I didn't have a lot of friends because nobody wanted to be friends with that kid. And so I always just felt like, oh, I'm just like introverted. I like being alone. And I realized that I didn't. And then when I started doing what I do now and talking to people and relating to business owners and stuff like that, I realized really I'm an extrovert. I enjoy that. I get energy from meeting and talking to other people. So I'm glad I made that decision and that pivot. And I wouldn't have otherwise known that about myself, really. I think I would probably just be jamming behind a computer all day. Yeah.
Well, and your position of redesigning websites and setting up digital marketing, you're also really a business mentor also beyond just the... you know, the nuts and bolts of how to do it. There's also some guidance you can give people on their business, not just how to market it, but you get a closer connection to their business than a lot of people would, because you're the website is the face of that business. You need to understand it.
Yeah, when we go beyond website too, it's like, you know, I'm asking people what their margin is, you know, what their revenue is. These are scary things for a lot of business owners to share with other people, and they don't generally shy away from telling me. You know, we generally have good relationships with our clients, and they understand that that's information we need to know to help them better. So, yeah, we really do become consultants. And it's funny, you know, I'm 28. A lot of my clients think I'm older because of the beard and stuff, so maybe that's a good thing. But
I just need a little silver hair, and they'll add another 10 years.
Oh, I can't wait for the salt and pepper. But, yeah, I mean, I think nowadays a lot of business owners are looking to younger people for how to run the digital aspects of their business. You know, I don't have any clients telling me or asking me how to produce their good or service. They don't come to me for that generally. But they do come to me with, like, how do we get it out to people? And how do we position it? And how do we say it the right way? And what should it look like? And those are the questions that I find that I'm being asked above and beyond what the website should be like, yeah.
You really don't want to look too old, because then it's like you're not you weren't born into the digital world. And I see it with my kids. I mean, they were born with this, and, you know, I discovered, used my first computer at the U of R, you know, my sophomore year. I used actually a typewriter to write my papers, you know, for my freshman year, which seems like I'm, you know, from the mid-1800s.
No concept of it, yeah. I mean, I was 5 when we had our first computer. I mean, I have literally no concept of what you went through.
And it's nostalgic for me, but for my kids, for people who are in sort of, I don't know, under 30 range, it changes how you think in a lot of ways to have that digital frame of reference that goes all the way back. And so you don't want to look too old for this. I don't know. It was my beard that went white first. Not that I grew one, but the whiskers were white. So if that happens, then you might have to shave it. So Sean McKay is with us, and yoursitehub.com. You can get more details on what he does. And how did you connected with Adam Wilcox from Rochester Food Media. How did that happen?
So it's actually funny. Sometimes referrals happen in a weird way. I met Adam because he was referred to me through Lynn Phillips, Sriracha says, and she actually asked Danielle Ramos of the Brainery who to refer to Adam. I believe that's how it went. So I said thank you to all of those people, because the relationship now that I have with Adam is not just that he's a wonderful customer, but an awesome friend, great guy. So yeah, I mean, it just working with him was kind of serendipitous at first. We just fell into that. We both hit it off, had a good meeting, and and then he started talking about this Rochester Food Net and kicking that back off. I told him I definitely wanted to be involved. You know, I've never really been in the food scene. I'm certainly not a writer, but I love to eat. And I thought that I could help with the digital stuff, obviously. And I like being involved and, you know, meeting out with people. And so that's been a fun project to get started on as well.
And it's RochesterFoodNet.com. You can get more details there. It was all launched a few years ago, and it's going to be relaunched now. And so there's interviews that I've done there. There's Adam's been a food writer for a long time. I've saved some of his old city newspaper columns, because they were, at the time, city gave him quite a bit of space to just write. And so that made for some fun interviews. And we got a, I don't know if he has them or if I don't know if city will let him use them. I would imagine probably would if we credit city. But Adam and I kind of connect with some of the old restaurants that were here, and, you know, the nostalgia for those. So when we have some newer people like Chris Clemens and Chris Lindstrom and Amanda Antonori to, you know, that are haven't been writing as long, and, you know, they add a new dimension to everything, sort of this package, these collaborators for Rochester Food Net. So and Rochester is an exciting food town. You know, we're big enough to have lots of cool options, lots of ethnic options, but we don't have the traffic jams and the prices of, you know, Toronto and New York City.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you know, I grew up with like an English cook at home, which means that, at least for us, nothing tasted like much of anything. Sorry, Mom. And so, you know, I didn't really explore food too much until I could drive and go places and, you know, had some money of my own. And Rochester is so great for that. There's so much out here. There's so much ethnic food. There's so much ethnic diversity, rather, in the food. And, like, just there's multiple options for every type of cuisine that you could want, right? And I think that's really neat. Like,
your location here on East Avenue, it's 350 East Avenue, puts you close to a whole bunch of different places within a couple of blocks of you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we got Pop Rock across the street, the comics and cereal guys. They have waffles there now. There's a Morgan's cereal bar, too, but they have more sit-down breakfast. You got Locals Only. And then you got, Adam's going to kill me. Oh, yeah, Ox and Stone, yep. What's the sushi joint down the street? Shima? That place is awesome. Go there once a week. So, there's a lot of options down here, and there's probably stuff I haven't explored yet either.
That's why now you're part of Rochester Food Net. You're going to get the inside scoop on all the different places. And again, you can design websites, you can design marketing programs, but a lot of what's behind that is search, right? Search results and trying to figure out Google's algorithm. I picture that's a lot of your staff discussions go around that, you know, what's changed, how do we optimize it, all those things.
Yeah, it's funny you were talking about Chris. Chris and I met recently, and he also does some SEO of his own website. SEO is in like search engine optimization, keeping up with Google. And yeah, we nerd out about that stuff. All of us here at the office, you know, talk about that. And it's always about trying to stay ahead of the game. But the problem is Google doesn't really release any information about anything they do. In fact, I believe it's true that no one person knows the entire algorithm. Compartmentalization. Yeah. So it's more about like testing and what's working, and it's tough. It's a tough industry to be in. They do about three updates. Google does about three updates a day on the search results and how those work on average. And then there's about one bigger release a quarter, per quarter, that is, you know, where they make an announcement generally about those. But all these things impact every website we work with on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, really. And, you know, so much of us depend on that exposure that we get through Google. I mean, it is the modern-day newspaper at an international level, right? So there's so much exposure that can be made through there that if you start to get results through Google and then suddenly it's taken away, that really hurts.
If it's out of your control. I mean, and for you, it's impacting the results you're giving your customers, but you really, there's like a puppet. There's no control over it.
Yeah, all we can do is play the game. Yeah. Yeah, you can't fight it. You can't do nothing, but you certainly can't manipulate the search results. And, you know, there's short-term cheats, you know, and little tricks and tips you could do to get ahead of the game, and there's things that are less ethical than others, but most of the time, all that's for short thrills. Really, for long-term ranking on Google, you have to play their game.
But it seems a little bit, and for a complete outsider, that it's kind of like investing money. If you're a day trader and you're just trying to optimize Google every day or every, you know, three times a day that they do that, versus a long-term investor, it's like, we're going to build a good site, are going to do the basics and do them well, and in the long run, we're going to perhaps be in a better place than the day trader.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you understand that better than most people. Are you doing SEO?
Oh yeah, I'm all about SEO. not at all. My example is only that I have a terrible website, but got lucky putting up some stuff on Poison Ivy. So I'm actually, if you put in Poison Ivy on Google, my website comes up pretty, yeah. And I'm thinking about doing a reality TV show called Poison Mike. Find Poison Ivy, because I do have a sixth sense for it. It's kind of weird. I kind of know where, I know it's there, and so I find little seedlings of it, or it's everywhere. I found it on a church across the street from me here a couple of years ago. I was growing up the side of the church. I found it at a couple of restaurants. It's all over the city, the suburbs. It was in my yard several times. I've had to take it out. So anyway,
some people can't get poison ivy. Is that true?
Well, it's true. About 20% of people have no reaction to it. So that's quite a few people that don't have any reaction. And so some of those people will swear it's not poison ivy because they're not getting a rash, but their sister, their mother, their friend might is actually likely to get it. So poison ivy's kind of an interesting thing, and I doubt there'll ever be a reality TV show about it. But it's kind of weird how that niche, you know, I'm known for poison ivy on the web, which I really totally don't deserve, but it's just happenstance. But it does, you know, I get emails from all over the country, people asking me to identify something as poison ivy, and these are some from the South where, you know, these are plants I've never seen because I don't garden in the South. So it's that's sort of a window into how, you know, the web, whether it's a business or whether it's information, in this case, you know, photos of poison ivy, it can broaden your world and introduce you to people from all over the country and potentially all over the world. It's, I think a lot of people don't realize how linked they are potentially on the web.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. And I think going back to your original point that there's the long-term game is generally better. You want to put out the general rule of thumb is just to put out good content that people actually want to read or listen to, whatever it is, and make it easy for them to do so. A lot of the technical stuff about optimizing your website is becoming less important. I don't want to say it's not important, because it certainly is, and sometimes it can make the difference between being first and second, but the most important is just really producing content, and Google's really been doubling down on that for a long time. So
that's Sean Patrick McKay. Yeah, yoursitehub.com to get more information on him. And a local business, they've been busy helping people get their online stores up and running or perhaps upgrading those. Security, a big part of that also. And, you know, the more that goes online in terms of online stores, the more careful we need to be about security of our own systems. So it's nice to have a local person that can help with that. We will take a quick break. Be back after a word from our sponsors here, Discover the Finger Lakes on WNSF. Welcome back. Michael and Thomas here, the sponsors of Discover the Finger Lakes. And one of those, Arkhamage on Monroe Avenue, is closed right now because of the shutdown. But you can get gift certificates online for them. And they're looking forward to reopening here in the very near future. It's arkhamagestore.com. You can follow them online since 1983. A long time here in Rochester. One of the really cool and eclectic stores here. Again, gift certificates available online at arkhamagestore.com. Also brought to you by Hunt Country Vineyards. They are right near Branchport, just above Branchport, northwest corner of Cuca Lake, and they have curbside pickup available. They are shipping their wines, and again, New York State winery tasting rooms are not projected to open until mid-June, but the wineries are shipping wine. You can be drinking some delicious local wine. I just had some of their cream sherry. One of the few wineries still producing cream sherry in the Finger Lakes, even though it was a huge product line 30, 40 years ago, they still make a delicious cream sherry. And Alchemy, their blended red, a dry red that is really delicious, excellent value. So get a mixed case. Try some reds, some whites, some dessert wines. Go to huntwines.com for more information. And finally, Bristol's Garden Center. They are on Route 96 as you head towards Victor. And they can deliver mulch for you. You can also stop by a pick up plants. Bristol'sGardenCenter.com to get more details. And Route 96 as you head toward Victor, and not far from Casa Larga, too. That's just up the road on Turquill Road, open 7 days a week for curbside pickup and shipping. CasaLarga.com, not far from Bristol's Garden Center. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on Discover the Finger Lakes. Start spreading. Welcome back. Mike Oren Thomas here. It's Discover the Finger Lakes on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And as I said earlier, the Finger Lakes wineries in particular are looking forward to opening tasting rooms, hopefully mid-June. And that's if we're careful with masks, with social distancing, to try to keep that infection rate low as possible. That is the key. So wear a mask to protect other people. Show respect for other people. And we'll be back tomorrow with a grapevine from 9 to 11 here on WYSL 1040. Have a great day.